Well, tonight in Matthew chapter 14, I want you to know I can read fast, but when I read the Bible, I usually don't read very fast. I want it to sink in as I go along. But let's look tonight to start at verse 13. If we go back to chapter 14 and verse 1, it talks about how Herod, and he had John the Baptist beheaded because he preached to him about his adulterous lifestyle with his sister-in-law. And then coming down to verse 13, for sake of time, where we will start tonight. So when Jesus heard of it, and of course what he heard of was the death of John the Baptist. And let me say this. I don't believe, now I could be wrong, but I don't believe they had to tell Jesus for him to know that had happened. He's God. He knew that had happened. He knew what was on people's minds, and he could tell them what was on their mind. But when they told him, nevertheless, the Bible said he departed thence by ship, went to another place, into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw, and I want you to notice that word, saw, a great multitude. I don't know how many a multitude is, but I do know this. Jewish tradition says a multitude is at least 10,000. But that's Jewish tradition. I don't know how many was there, but we do know from the Word of God there was a great multitude. And Jesus, when he saw that great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now spent. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Why did they wait till it was evening? They had been gathering there all day. They should have known lunchtime was coming. But they just waited till evening. Evening in the Bible is 6 o'clock. The sun was beginning to set. Darkness was hiding the light of the sun. Now it's nighttime. But they had waited till it was evening. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Verse 22 said, and straightway or immediately Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Let me stop right there for the sake of time. And let me begin tonight by asking you a question. You don't have to answer me. You don't have to raise a hand. But just let me ask you this simple question. How many of you have ever prayed about a certain matter, and you've searched the Scripture, you've put a lot of thought to this matter, and you just can't get away from it? And you come to the conclusion, this is the perfect will of God. And because you so believe this is the perfect will of God, you take a step You step out, and whatever the situation is, believing it is the perfect will of God, you start. But somewhere down the road a short ways, it all falls apart. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I've had that to happen to me, and I know what I think. I sure thought this was the will of God, but evidently it wasn't. Well, who told you it wasn't? Here you are. Here's God. God said to you, I want you to do whatever. You say yes. But there is a space between you and God. And in that space is room for the enemy to appear. And believe you me, if you believe you are in the perfect will of God, and you set out to do what God wanted you to do, right in here somewhere in this space, you're going to face the enemy. For he does not want you to do what God wants you to do. He's going to hinder you if he can. I know that to be a fact because it is right here in the Word of God where I read tonight. Did you notice that Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to get in this ship. Now, back in those days, that was not Carnival Cruise Line type ship. That was what we would call a boat. But he said, you get in the ship and you go to the other side. I'm going to send the multitude away. I'm going up into the mountain and pray. And I will see you there. I wonder if they thought, how's he going to get there? But nevertheless, they did what Jesus said. I did not read anywhere in the scripture that they asked, why? Why do you want us to do that? They just got in the boat and they started to the other side. There's not much doubt in my mind, but when they left the shore, the sailing was smooth. And they started. Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. Now, I don't know what Jesus prayed. The Bible does not say, and we're not going to speculate on what Jesus prayed, what he said. We just know he went up into the mountain and prayed. But is it okay if I tell you what I believe Jesus was praying? Here was his disciples starting to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now there was another multitude over there. This is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And if you want to get the true account, read all four of them. But on the other side was another multitude that Jesus was, or the disciples were going toward. And as they sailed along, smooth, in the perfect will of God, suddenly there was a storm. I have read that on the Sea of Galilee, the wind can become violent in just a matter of minutes. Well, here they were. Now, I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but the Bible said they were in the midst of the sea. Now, if I understand that word midst, it's talking about the middle. It's halfway between the shore where they left and the shore where they're going. I looked the other day and on the widest part of the Sea of Galilee, if I remember right, it was like 7 miles. Well, they were in the middle. 3.5 miles, if that's the correct measurement. 3.5 miles out. They had reached the point of no return. It was just as near to the other side as it was where they left. They saw no way of turning around and going back. But can I say to you, that's where we are a lot of times. When we start out to be obedient to God and do exactly what we feel like He is telling us to do, and we hit a storm, the first thing we want to do is to turn around and go back. They couldn't turn and go back. They had reached the point of no return. We shouldn't even consider it. If we know it's the will of God, just keep pressing on. Amen. But it may happen to us just like it did to these disciples. That storm was so violent. When the storm hit, I'm sure they knew where they were. They were on their way to the other side in the perfect will of God. They knew they were about halfway to where they were going. But then the storm hits. And the ship was being tossed. It probably didn't take long for them to be completely off course. They probably had come to the place in a matter of moments or minutes or an hour or so, whatever the time may have been, I don't know. They probably didn't know exactly where they were on the Sea of Galilee. Probably just didn't know. But the good thing is, Jesus knew where they were. He had gone up to the mountain to pray, and I started to tell you, what I believe Jesus may have been praying for was His disciples, knowing there was going to be a storm. Things like that don't slip up on God. No. He knew they were going into a storm. He may have been up on that mountain praying, Lord, dear God, my Father, my followers, my disciples, right now, they're in a storm. They're devastated. They're fearful. They don't know what's going to take place. They may think they're dying out there. Just help them. If he prayed that, I don't know. I think he may have, but I do know this. We have a great Heavenly Father that is sitting at the right hand of God on His throne. There is not a storm we can encounter that He don't know about. There's not a danger that we can face that He don't know about. And some would say, well, why don't He do something about it? Well, you're going to have to ask God that. I don't know. Just let me mention this. I know you know these people, Brother Charles Long and his wife, Miss Dolores. Why does she suffer like she does? Brother Long now not in good shape. Why does my wife suffer like she does? This is the first time, really, that we have hardly been out of Cleveland, Tennessee in 4 or 5 years. My wife can't ride in a car very far. I'm driving a car tonight. I'm honest. I don't know who it belongs to. Somebody let me borrow a car. I know it's not hers. I don't know if it's one of her brothers. I don't know if it's somebody she works for. She just brought us a car to drive. And the reason we needed a car, my wife not being able to ride in the car and us being in missions, needing to travel, we've just been homebound. A couple of years ago, we started praying. Lord, if you would give us just a good-sized van or a small motor home, something that my wife can lay down while I drive. We can get back on the road. We can get out and try to get some support. And we could visit our supporting churches. We just need to do what you have called us to do. And we can't because of her physical condition. Well, we prayed like this for 2 years. I did, and I'm sure she did. Sitting in church about 2 months ago, sitting there on the pew, and my pastor was preaching. I can't tell you what he was preaching on. My mind wasn't in what he was saying. I was praying that prayer. And if I've ever heard God speak to my heart, he said to my heart, how many times do you have to ask me? You've been asking me for 2 years. How many times do you think you've got to ask me to get me to answer? What are you doing? And I had to say nothing. I'm just asking. So when the invitation is given, I went up and bowed in the altar and I said, okay, Lord, I'm giving up. I don't know how in the world, I just don't know how we could ever buy a vehicle. I just don't know how. But you're right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we'll go looking. We went to the first place to look. It was discouraging. I'm telling you. Showed me this little old motor home. Well, this is a real deal. This one here is only $69,900. I'm 78 years old. Hey, I'd never get a $69,000 motor home paid for. I said, well, thank you, but no thank you. So we went to another place. It was about the same thing. They had one for $20,000 that was ragged out. So we started up the road, and my wife said, you know, if we could find an individual that had one for sale, maybe we could get it. So I got my phone out and tapped on that little thing, and I said, used motorhomes, Cleveland, Tennessee. Ding! One popped up on Harrison Pike, Craigslist. And I looked at it, and it disappeared. I don't know who had it. I don't know nothing. It just gone. I couldn't get the thing brought back up to save my life. But I told her, I said, well, I know where Harrison Pike is. So we went driving down Harrison Pike. Sure enough, here sits this thing on the side of the road. We pulled in the driveway, and I got out and walked up and looked in the windshield, and there was a sign for sale that fell over on the dash, and I looked at it, and so I said, I looked in the window, and I saw the door wasn't locked. So I opened the door and looked inside, and the guy that lived there that owned it come out and hollered, the alarm went off. Well, it really didn't. It didn't have an alarm. Too old to have an alarm. But anyway, we looked at the thing. It's a 1997 Ford, 26 foot, 35,000 miles. So that tells me, you got anything 21 years old and got 35,000 miles, it's been sitting somewhere a whole lot. Well, to make a long story short, I asked the man what he wanted for it, and he said $8,500. I said, well, know how I can do that, but we'll pray about it. I told him, I said, I'm not doing nothing until I pray about it. He said, no, I want you to. Turned out he was a Christian man. We went up around the corner and stopped and pulled over on the side of the road, and we talked, and we sat there and prayed and asked the Lord for guidance. Lord, we've been praying, and you know down there at them other places, we can't buy one of those things. But Lord, where are we going to get $85,000? But just show us. Well, both of our hearts were just, that's what we need to do. So just like the disciples, they just went out, you know, thinking everything was fine, no storm. So I went back down there and told the man, I said, okay, we're going to buy your mobile home, your motor home. He said, I'm not selling it to you today. I said, why not? He said, I don't think you've had enough time to pray about it. And I said, well, we prayed for an hour. He said, no, just go home. Pray about it overnight. Call me in the morning. I said, okay. So we went home, and off and on through the night, we prayed about it and talked about it and called him the next morning, told him we'll take it. He said, well, I'll bring it over and set it in your driveway. And I said, well, okay, but this is Sunday. You know, I can't get the money today. He said, well, I know where you live. And so he brought the thing over there. And we drove it to Kingsport. She slept in the back up here. And we're still going. The Lord supplied. We didn't know what we're getting into. There has been somewhat of a storm. First thing I had to do is have brakes put on it. $500. Had another problem, was $330. The heat wouldn't work, got that done, $440. So we put $1,500 in above that, but now the old thing's in good shape. Better shape than I'm in. But I just told you all of that to tell you this. When we believe it's the will of God, there's only one thing to do, and that's to do it. Just do it. And watch God take care of this whole matter. Here was the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee in the storm. But Jesus was praying for them. And he came walking to them on the sea. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They encountered a violent storm. They were in the middle of the sea with no way to turn around and go back. The Bible said it was the fourth watch of the night, the darkest time of the night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Probably didn't know where they were. And Mark chapter 6 said, when Jesus came walking to them, when Mark tells the story, he said he would have passed them by. But they cried out. Can I say to you tonight, when you in a storm and you feel like there is no hope, you don't really know where you're at, the thing you need to do is just to cry out. And he will help you. Came to where they were and said, be of good cheer, it is I. You find yourself in a storm, just cry out. If you don't, he may pass you by. I thought about that old song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Just cry out. I'm glad we got a God that can hear us, loves us, prays for us. I'm through now. But let me just close by asking you this. Do you have a need that you just need to cry out to God about? If you do, this would be a good night just to cry out to God. He's listening. His eyes are always on the righteous, and his ears are always open to our cries. So if you need to call tonight, just call. Our Father, we love you this evening, and thank you so much for your goodness and grace toward us. Thank you for this great church tonight and the blessing of being here. You know every need tonight. You know every burden. You know every care. So, Lord, we just ask your will would be accomplished in each of our lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name.